You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of Matthew, chapter 3, verse 1, where we left off last time. Matthew, chapter 3, verse 1. Before we begin, as always, I want to invite every Christian in America to join me every Wednesday at 6 p.m., either here in person or wherever you are, to pray fervently for America, that Jesus be our Lord, the Bible our book, and that the Lord deliver us from socialism, communism, and Marxism. You're also invited to come each Sunday for the live radio broadcast taping. It's 5 p.m. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Merson's The Produce Place. I'm at 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And now, Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. As always, I ask the Lord to show me his heart so I can share it with your heart. So from God's heart to my heart to your heart, here's what he gave me. Camel's hair, leather girdles, locusts, and honey. Yeah, did I whet your appetite?
Yeah.
Pun intended. Camel's hair, leather girdles, locusts, and honey. Now, you know it's got a great deep meaning. Now, Matthew means gift of Yah. Yah is a Hebrew abbreviation for the sacred name of God. The sacred name of God, and all of you need to know that, is Yahweh. It's YHVH. It's not Yahweh. It's not Jehovah. It's Yahweh. And Matthew portrays Jesus as king. Now, we learned last time in Matthew chapter 1 and 2 that the Lord Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. The Holy Spirit overshadowed her. But that Mary's father was of the tribe of Judah. Her father's name was Heli, and that's the king line, the seed of David. But Mary's mother was of the tribe of Levi, the Levitical priesthood. So we learned that Jesus is not only our king, but he's our high priest, and he ever lives to make intercession for us. Mm-hmm. And now, Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. As the curtain comes up, Jesus would be now about 30 years old. And so, camel's hair, leather girdles, locusts, and honey.
Verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea.
All right. Now, you notice it said John the Baptist, okay. They called him the Baptist because he would baptize. You know, we used to not have last names. If your last name was South, it meant you lived down South, okay? If your name was Smith, it meant you were a blacksmith. Understand? My maiden name is Hare. All of us have a lot of hair, if you notice that, okay? In other words, so he was John, he baptized, okay. Now, who is he? He is not the disciple John that the Holy Spirit used to write the Gospel of John and the three epistles of John or the book of Revelation. This John is the son of Zechariah, the priest of the tribe of Levi and Elizabeth, and he was born 6 months before the Lord Jesus. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, God told Zechariah, your son John the Baptist is coming in the anointing of Elijah. Now, what is the anointing of Elijah? Well, we know there was a prophet named Elijah, and he did not die. He went up in a whirlwind. That means a chariot of fire. Now, Jesus says in other places in Luke, he says that if you can believe this or receive it, John the Baptist is Elijah. There's no such thing as reincarnation, but since Elijah did not die, God sent his spirit again, and he became John the Baptist. Okay, now, so John the Baptist has the anointing of Elijah. Now, what is that? It's found in Malachi chapter 4. It says there, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, that God will send Elijah, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the father. The anointing of Elijah, John the Baptist has it, Elijah had it, and the two witnesses of whom you're about to be very much aware have it. It tells you there are two fathers, of course, God the Father, but it's the devil has children. In the Garden of Eden, Satan, he was called a serpent. It's a metaphor. It shows how low down he is. It's one of his nicknames. He beguiled Eve, exopatio in the Greek, seduced her, and bore Cain. Cain is the child of the devil. His descendants are the Kenites. So we have two fathers. Elijah knew it. John the Baptist knew it. And the two witnesses knew it. Anybody who has the anointing of Elijah tells you that. So keep that in mind. Very important. Because that's going to relate to the camel's hair, the leather girdle, the locust, and the honey.
Amen. Two, and say, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Now, John the Baptist did not yet know that his cousin Jesus was the promised Messiah. But as a prophet, he did know the Messiah had come. So he said, repent. And when he had baptized them, they didn't know that Jesus was there, and Jesus had not yet died. So when they go under the water, it meant they believed that Messiah was going to come and die, go under the water, and arise from the dead. See, they were saved by believing. We know it's already happened. We're saved by believing.
Amen. Three. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Esaias, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.
This was prophesied by Isaiah the prophet long before, and it was speaking not only of John the Baptist before Jesus, but the two witnesses before the soon coming Christ. And it's found in Isaiah 40, and I'll give you some of it. It says, comfort ye my people, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for the Lord. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and every hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, the rough shall be made plain. For the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey.
Now, this is what real prophets wear spiritually. This is what real prophets eat spiritually. The prophet Elijah wore camel's hair and leather girdle. A girdle is a belt, and he ate locusts and wild honey. Did you know that locusts have all kinds of good things, calcium, magnesium? How about I go into my Garden of Eden, catch a swarm of locusts, cook them up, invite you all for dinner? Would you come? Okay. There's a spiritual significance here. John the Baptist had the anointing of Elijah. Elijah had the anointing. The two witnesses have anointing. Every man and woman of God who has the anointing of Elijah has camel's hair. What does it mean? A man, a woman of God who has the anointing is willing to go through great hardships beyond what most people would suffer for enlightenment. The prophet Elijah was just tortured by Queen Jezebel. I mean, she just beat him up. John the Baptist was tormented by Herod's wife, and she finally had his head put in a silver charger. The two witnesses are going to be killed by the Antichrist calling himself Jesus, but they're going to rise from the dead 3.5 days later. So the camel hair means that anyone who has the anointing of Elijah will go through great hardships, and none of these things move you, because it's worth it to get the truth.
Yep. Amen. Amen.
The leather girdle. That means the power of God. Now, John the Baptist had the anointing of Elijah. The two witnesses have the anointing of Elijah. Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The power of the Holy Spirit on Elijah, John the Baptist, two witnesses, on any man or woman of God who's any good. The power prays through you. The power preaches through you. The power lives through you. The power shines through you. The power works miracles through you. The leather is the power and anointing of Holy Spirit. Locust. The locust in the natural at first is a solitary creature. It goes off by itself at first. The prophet Elijah, John the Baptist, the two witnesses, any man, woman, totally sanctified, has no peers. You have a solitary way. Oh, you have people all around you say, I love you. You're one with God. You get the mind of Christ, the lips of God. And then you do what locusts do. You gather a swarm of people together. And you give to them the mind of Christ. You release that power to them. And then they become whole, the body of Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Honey. Now, you know, honey is very good for your heart. God told the prophet Ezekiel, eat the word of God. And it was sweet like honey. God told John the Revelator, not this John the Baptist, the disciple John, eat the word of God. And it was like honey. Elijah, John the Baptist, the two witnesses of whom you're going to be very much aware, and any man or woman, call of God, gives you the word of God. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Amen.
And it's sweeter than honey.
Amen. 5. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. 6. And were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins.
Now, again, he said Messiah's here, but he didn't know it was his cousin Jesus, okay? And so what they did, they would repent of their sins. Don't ever get baptized until you confess your sins. The first thing to be saved, you've got to know you're a sinner. If you think, I'm a real good person, I don't smoke, I don't chew, and I don't go with those who do, I mean, all of sin comes short of the glory of God. Realize you're a miserable, rotten sinner, confess, repent, and then you to be baptized. Confession is made to salvation. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. So they were coming out because they wanted to be saved. While the Messiah is somewhere in the world.
7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?
John the Baptist certainly has the leather, the power, the anointing of Holy Spirit, has discernment of spirits. The scribes and Pharisees are the phony religious leaders. They say they are our brother Judah. We love our brother Judah, but they are not. They are Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9, the synagogue of Satan. They say they're Judah, but they're not the synagogue of Satan. And so he looks at them, and I love him. He says, you're the devil's children. A viper is a snake. A viper is a serpent. And you are his seed. You're the seed of the serpent. You're his brood children. I'm telling you the meaning of these words. Now, that was not a real snake. That's a figure of speech. So people get, oh, the snake impregnated you. The devil's name is snake. His devil's name is dragon, serpent, devil, antichrist. He's coming back as Jesus, a fake Jesus. So John the Baptist looked at them, and he called a spade, you're the devil's kids. And he said, somebody needs to warn you, the cup of wrath is about to fall on you. Now listen to me, all of you. A lot of you go along to get along. You don't warn your friend. You don't warn that person you go out to dinner with. You don't warn your family member. You're lost. You don't warn them. Don't go along to get along. you're not being wrong to say, you need Jesus. You do not make friends heart on heart with a girlfriend, a boyfriend, a man, a woman, anybody in the world. You don't get close to them until they're saved and sanctified. You are asking yourself for a heartbreak and trouble. Amen. Don't go along to get along. Do like John the Baptist. Woo! You're the devil's kid. Children of the snake. In other words, you are children of the Cain, descendants of Cain, the Kenites. And he called that. He said, the wrath of God is going to come, because when Jesus comes back the second time, John didn't know he'd come the first time. He's going to pour out the cup of wrath on all who are worshiping the Antichrist and all the devil's kids who are not saved.
Amen.
8. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance.
John says, I'll be glad to baptize you phony baloney church leaders. As Rush Limbaugh says, phony baloney, passion banana, good time rock and rollers. We love you, Rush. May you live and be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. So that's what they were. He said, I'll be glad to baptize you, but I need to know you're real. You see, if a person's really saved, there's supposed to be evidence. I mean, is there any fruit? So he said, let me see some fruit here.
I think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children of Abraham.
The scribes and Pharisees, pretending to be of our brother Judah, who was of the seed of Abraham, they would say, we are Abraham's seed. Now, in the Gospel of John, not John the Baptist, John the disciple, John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus told these same scribes and Pharisees, he did just like John. He didn't say, oh, love you, come on in and worship with us. He said, you are the children of the devil. Don't you love it?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you that brave? I mean, that friend that you go out with, you know they're not saved. Oh, you're so sweet, you're so nice. You better get saved. There's a lake of fire waiting on you. When are we going to get a little backbone and spine and be what we're supposed to be?
Amen.
Don't go along to get along. Jesus said, you're the seed of the devil. Now, they call themselves Abraham's seed. So what John the Baptist says about these stones, John the Baptist says, you're no more the seed of Abraham than these little rocks over here. God could call these little rocks, these little stones, his seed, more than you. You're the children of the devil. Now, I will say to you, the devil's children, the Kenites, they're all around us. One of them was our president. It is not Donald Trump. And I saw the snake coming out of that other president's house. And they are the ones who are turning our country into socialism, Marxism, and communism. And the people vote because they vote for the color of your skin. Always vote for the heart. And don't go along to get along. Okay. So he says, you're not the children of Abraham. Now let's go on and see what he does here.
And now also the axe is laid into the root of the trees.
Now John the Baptist is preaching to the devil's kids. By the way, those Kenites are all over the news. Do you recognize them? Can you tell?
Amen.
Okay, just want to know, make sure. See, you're supposed to be wiser than serpents and harmless as dove. All right, trees. If you're a Christian, God calls you a tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, and you're to bear fruit. Now, in the Garden of Eden, there were two trees. It's symbology, like the serpent. God speaks in parables, a metaphor, makes a picture so you'll understand. The one tree was called the tree of life. That was our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives life. The other tree was the knowledge of good and evil. He was the devil, that old low-down serpent, and he right there beguiled Eve. Now, what John the Baptist says is, the Messiah has come the first time, and he's going to cut you off at the root. But the two witnesses in the anointing of Elijah will tell you right now, and when you're aware of them, when Jesus comes a second time, he's going to cut him off at the root and put him into the lake of fire.
Amen.
Jesus cut off the devil the first time by dying, by shedding his blood. In other words, Hebrews 2:14, Jesus says, I came to this earth to give this congregation, this message to the congregation, to defeat death, whose name is the devil. When Jesus died in our stead, shed his blood and arose from the dead, Jesus defeated death. Now, when the two witnesses are telling you this and Jesus comes at the end of the millennium, the death, old devil, is going to walk into the lake of fire. So you see, the root is laid to that tree. He can't live. You know, the devil is a defeated foe. Why are you nurturing his children? Why are you playing around with people who are his children? Why don't you play around with God's children?
Therefore, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire.
Okay. Now, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is cast into the lake of fire. Now, Jesus says, ye shall know them by their fruit. Meaning, if you're a Christian, you'll have fruit. If you don't have fruit, you're not a Christian. Oh, John 15, Jesus says of himself, I am the vine, you are the branch. If the branch, that's you Christian, abides in the vine, you will bear much fruit. In other words, you can't help it. If you say you're a Christian and you don't bear fruit, you're not saved. And so he says, then I will cut you off and throw you into the fire. See, you can come to church every time the door is open. You can give money. You can help the poor. But are you abiding in the vine? The proof is you bear fruit. In other words, are you making a difference? Are you telling someone about Jesus? Are you winning souls? Are you changing the atmosphere? Are you fighting for the Lord? Are you standing up for him? Are you declaring the word? Now, when you first get saved, we give you about 3 months slack. But when you sit under the word of God like you get in Trumpet of Truth, you can't stay a baby Christian very long. Amen. So, all I can say is, I didn't say it. Jesus says, if you're saved, you're the branch. You abide in the vine, Jesus is the branch, and you will bear fruit. And he says, if you don't bear fruit, he cuts you off. He cuts you off because you're not his child. Amen. See? You say, how do I bear fruit? Well, if you're going to plant a fruit tree, you got to plant a seed, right? So go out and plant a seed. You get so many great seeds here. I mean, you could wake up people and shake them up with the stuff you learn. It's the truth of God, the mystery of God. It's not boring. It's exciting. Did you know there was a world that was before this? Did you know that Satan has children in the world? Do you know who the defeated are? My God, have mercy. You plant a seed. And then you pray over it. And then you actually take that friend who's lost and say, I ask you, sit down with me. Are you saved? See, you make friends with people. And you don't want to hurt their feelings. They're pretty. They like you. They like the way you look. They like your house. They're lost. Their blood's on your hand. God have mercy. So if you're saved, you're bearing fruit. Jesus said, if you're not bearing fruit, you're not saved. And so, therefore, Jesus says you shall know them by their fruit. And the axe is laid to the root. If you don't bear fruit, he'll cut you off and will walk into the lake of fire at the end of the millennium. The mouth of the Lord has spoken.
Amen.
I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance.
Now, what he did again, Jesus had not yet died and not yet risen from the dead. So in other words, when they got baptized in water, Romans says confession is made to salvation. It's an act of obedience. It says, I believe that the Messiah is coming, they said, and will die and will arise again. And of course, at that time, he had not.
But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear.
I am not worthy to touch his shoes.
He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire.
God is a consuming fire, Hebrews 12:29, and the Holy Spirit is the one that gives that fire. This is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We just studied the book of Acts. First, they would confess their sins, they'd repent, get saved, and the first baptism was the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then they'd be baptized with water. That's the proper order. at Pentecost, when they were in the upper room, the 12 disciples, the women, and all we 11 disciples, the Holy Spirit descended on them like a cloven tongue of fire. Jeremiah says, fire shut up in my bones. And boy, they began to speak the language of God. No child of God, real, is dead. Yeah. See, you don't live. You're not shy. You're not passive because you don't live. The fire takes over. And there's fire and energy.
Yeah.
Without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you don't know even how to come in out of the rain. Mm-hmm. You don't know how to get up tomorrow morning and live. You don't know how to cope with socialism, communism, Marxism. You don't know how to pray. Romans 8:26 says you don't know how to pray. The Holy Spirit will intercede for you with groanings which cannot be uttered, that you pray according to the Father's will. You don't know how to sing. You don't know how to play the piano. You don't know how to play the drums unless you got the anointing. You don't know how to draw a picture unless you have the anointing. You don't know how to dance unless you have the anointing. You don't know how to love anybody unless you have the baptism. You call it love. No. It's when the Holy Spirit, and he prays and he lives a life through you. And then you have power. You lay hands on the sick and they recover. In the name of Jesus, everybody sick, get well.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Ooh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
12. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor.
Actually, John the Baptist speaks prophecy here of the second coming of Jesus, like the two witnesses will tell you. Now, he uses an agricultural term to explain what Jesus is going to do. He uses a threshing floor. In Bible times, they did not have a machine to thresh the wheat. And the wheat was their bread, but it had these little husks on it. We call it the chaff. So they put the wheat in a little burlap bag or something like that and beat it with a stick. Beat. I mean, you're the wheat, you're beat. When God beats you, it separates that little husk off of you, and then you're the real thing. Okay, that separates that little husk from the wheat. And then they take the wheat stalk out, and they take a winnowing fan, and all the husk goes away. In other words, separates the wheat from the chaff. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, he's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. In other words, you can say you're Christian. If you're wheat, you're bearing fruit. If you're wheat, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You have the baptism if you're saved. And the goats, the chaff, are going to be on the left. You know, left, communist, socialist, Marxism. But the wheat's on the right. Always go to the right.
Yes.
In politics too. Okay, so there we have it. And he's going to thoroughly clean the floor. The Bible says that the earth is God's footstool. He cleaned it the first time when John the Baptist came by shedding his blood. We are cleansed, as we just sang, by the blood of Jesus. Now he's coming again to cleanse it because he's coming back with a cup of wrath. And he's going to pour out his cup of wrath on the Antichrist, who we say is Jesus, that old devil, Mr. Death, and all who worship him. And half the body of Christ are going to worship the devil, Matthew 25, because you haven't heard the truth, and you think it's Jesus. He's going to try to fool you, but if you knew the word, you'd know better. He's going to pour out his cup of wrath, and it says the elements will burn with fervent heat. Now, the elements means the rudiments, the false teaching. In other words, God's a consuming fire. All of the lying media's lies, gone. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All the false teaching, gone. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Cleanse the floor. Praise your Lord. Yes. Come, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
And gather his wheat unto the garner.
Okay. You know, there are going to be a lot of people say, Lord, Lord, I went to church all the time. I gave money. I was good. I helped the poor. Get away from me, he'll say. I never knew you. New is a marriage term. You didn't bear fruit. You didn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you thought the devil was Jesus. Oh.
But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire.
And so, You see, heaven on earth wouldn't be heaven on earth with people saying they're God's children, but they weren't. You know how wonderful it is to have a kindred spirit who loves God like you do. Many people say they love the Lord, but the conversation is not about the Lord. It's about stuff and fun and this and that. But see, God's children are all about God. And so if we had people in the heaven on earth who were the devil's children, pretending to be God's children, just so they wouldn't have to walk in the lake of fire, that would not be heaven on earth, and it would not be good for God. So all the chaff will walk into the fire. Are you saved? Are you bearing fruit? Do you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Are you witnessing? Are you winning souls? Are you consecrated? Are you sanctified, set apart for holy use? Is everything about you God? Are you still got one foot in the church, one foot in the world? Want to be popular? Want to have fun? Want to have this? Want to have that? I live, yet not I. Christ lives in me. Die daily and have joy, eternal life forever.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan, and to John to be baptized of him.
Oh, here comes cousin Jesus. Now, John, wow, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Suddenly gets the revelation on, this is the one, this is the Messiah, amen. This is the Christ, he's the one to pay the price. Amen. Now, why in the world would Jesus want to be water baptized? To be water baptized says you have sinned and you believe that you die with Jesus. He died and you rose from the dead. Now we're going to find out why. Because Jesus, why would the potter say to the clay, baptize me? Let's find out. Because Jesus never sinned.
14. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee.
Lord Jesus, water me, you? No, baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire.
And comest thou to me?
Oh, little me.
15. And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now.
Suffer is an old Anglo-Saxon word, means allow. Let it be. There's a reason. Now we're going to find out why the Lord Jesus, who is God, who's never sinned, is going to be water baptized.
For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness.
We do know that when Jesus ascended back to heaven, he said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, what it is, Jesus is a teacher. Jesus is a leader. He's the head, and we, the church, are the body. Any good teacher, any good leader, will never ask you to do anything they don't do. It's an example. Jesus is an example. So he says, it is imperative that you say with your mouth, confession is made to salvation, life and death, and the power of the tongue. So when you're water baptized, you are obeying. Water baptism is the first act of obedience once you're saved. Water baptism does not save you, but it's an act of obedience, and obedience brings blessings. It says you believe that Jesus died and arose and went, you know, for your sins. He goes under the water and arose from the dead. Now, if you are not water baptized, could you be saved? Yes. The thief on the cross, Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. He didn't have time to come down from the cross and be baptized. I prayed for a man in a hospital here in Melbourne who was on his deathbed. He accepted Jesus, but then he died. He didn't have time to get baptized. So see, God understands that. But you see, you can be saved without being water baptized, but you're not obeying. Obedience is better than sacrifice. The Bible tells you to pray without ceasing. But you can be saved without praying without ceasing, but you miss your blessing. Because see, the more you pray, the more God takes over and the more of a greater blessing you are. The Bible tells you, it's a commandment, bring ye the tithes into the storehouse. The one-tenth of every dollar belongs to the Lord. Malachi 3 says, if you don't tithe, you're robbing God and you're cursed. And Matthew 23:23, Jesus says you should tithe. But you can be saved and not tithe, but you miss your blessing. You're under a curse, and that's why your pockets have holes in them. Okay, and on and on and on. We can say other things. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. It's an act of obedience. It doesn't save you, but we are supposed to obey. In other words, it's a very humbling experience to be water baptized. First of all, you're going to climb into a little water thing there, and you're going to trust somebody not to drown you. I baptize many people. They say, "What? Sherry, you're little. You're going to drown me." No, never have. Then you're going to get your hair wet. Your women are going to get your makeup fixed, your clothes. You're going to come up like a drenched rat. But see, humbling means I have sinned. I don't deserve salvation. I bow. My God died for me, and he arose from the dead. So you ought to be water baptized. But even before that, you should be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So everybody understand? In other words, you're not obeying. Just like you can be saved and not tithe, you cannot pray without ceasing, and you can be saved, but you're missing your blessing. You're not under the spout where the blessings come out.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. When he suffered him.
So John the Baptist said, okay, can you imagine the clay baptizing the potter? I mean, God, whoo, wow.
16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him.
Now, a dove is always a symbol of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit anointing came on him. Jesus Christ, Christ means the anointed one, Messiah. Now, at that moment, Isaiah chapter 61 came true, that prophecy, which says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. And so Jesus was then anointed, and then he went about anointing, doing miracles. Okay, what else happened here?
17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
Now that is God the Father. You see, there's just one God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. These three are one. Now, what Jesus did then, he said, I do nothing but what first I see my Father do, I please him. Why did Jesus get baptized? Not only to show us that we ought to, we're telling the world, we're making that public confession that we believe that Jesus died and arose from the dead, the water. But Jesus also did this to plant a seed for his resurrection. Because Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8 says, knowing whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, then God the Father was obligated to raise Jesus from the dead. So when Jesus said, I'm planting a seed, he said, I declare that I am going to die. He goes under the water, he's dead. I'm going to arise again from the dead. He planted the seed for his death, burial, and resurrection.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Camel's hair, leather girdles, locust, and honey. The Elijah anointing. We'll begin right there next time. I pray you are blessed.
Amen.
At this time, let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry, and very well fed after that lesson.
Amen. Oh, boy.
That was awesome.
Awesome. God's word is awesome,
isn't
it?
It is.
I want everybody to know, I didn't say a word of that. That was God.
Yeah. Amen.
That was the Lord speaking. I hope you got
Holy
it.
Holy Spirit.
Amen. Well, you know, Scott, David left his stuff in the cart so he could put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9.
Yeah. Great Scott. Thank you very much. That is perfect. That is beautiful. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. In a moment, I'm going to pray for the sick. But the most important thing is for you to be saved. If you're not saved or not sure you're saved, pray this prayer with me. Mean it from your heart. And God will save you right now. Here we go. Repeat after me, but mean it. Don't be a robot. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Let the blood of Jesus wash away my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Fill me with all the fullness of God. Baptize me with the Holy Spirit. Lead me by the Holy Spirit. Grow me in your word. And use me. To bear much fruit.
For the Lord Jesus Christ.
Let me win many souls to Jesus. Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Now again, confession is made unto salvation. Death and life in the power of the tongue. You need to tell someone. For those of you out there in internet, cyberspace, radio, wherever, cell phones, you may tell me. In a little while, my announcer will give you my telephone number. And yes, that is the correct number. Just try again. Sometimes the devil tries to thwart it. It's the right number. And call and leave that message on my voicemail. Speak clearly, and I will be praying for you. Now we want to pray for the sick. I feel led to pray for curvature of the spine, sometimes called scoliosis. Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you now, putting your remembrance of your word as you commanded us to do in Isaiah 43:26. Father, thank you, you said in Malachi chapter 4, but unto those that fear your name shall the Son of Righteousness rise with healing in your wings. And Lord, I ask now that the laser beams of Jesus Christ's healing virtue flow into the spine, from the brain stem to every vertebrae, right straight on down to the tailbone. Let everything be made straight. Let the crooked be made straight. Anything pinched, unpinched. Anything blocked, unblocked. Anything curved, uncurved. Crooked be made straight. Scoliosis be gone. Shoulders get in order. Pain stop. Divine order, perfect spine, perfect alignment in the name and the power of Jesus. Receive and believe. Confess. With Jesus' stripes you are healed. Yeah. He said his word and healed you. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. You're strong. You got the backbone, the spine of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you got that miracle, confession is made into salvation. Nothing is given to you to keep. Go and tell. Boy, do you get a lot of seed to sow. Yeah. You have no excuse for not bearing fruit. I mean, you could just take one thing we learned. And see, Wednesday night, we got more seed. It's just as good. We have Wednesday 6 p.m. here, word and then prayer. So go and tell. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your next best friend. Jesus is your best friend. Your host, Sherry Medlock. I love you. And I thank you for loving God. I thank you for loving the Word. I thank you that you're not going to be mediocre. I thank you that after this, you're going to give it all to Jesus. You're going to win those souls and help us to pray America back to Jesus.
Amen.
I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
You are listening to WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary modern praise and worship music, 91.5 FM.
Make kingdoms fall. waiting for me to cross through. My heart is aching, I can tell. So Lord, I'm begging for one last favor from you. Here's my heart, take it where you will. But this life has shown me how we're mended and how we're torn. How it's okay to be lonely as long as you're free. Sometimes my ground was stony, sometimes covered up with thorns. And only you can make it what it had to be. And now that it's done, well, if they dress me like a pauper, or if they dine me like a prince, if they lay me with my fathers, or if my ashes scatter on the wind, I don't care. But when I leave, I'm gonna go out like Elijah. And it won't break my heart to say goodbye. But these people been friendly, but they never be a friend. Sometimes this has bent me to the ground. Of lending, I wanna hear some music once again, 'cause it's the finest thing I have ever found. Well, the Jordan is waiting, though I ain't never seen the other side. They say you can't take in the things you have here. So on the road to salvation, I stick out my thumb and it gives me a ride. And this music is already falling on my ears. But these people been talking, they say they're worried about my soul. Well, I'm here to tell you I'll keep rocking till I'm sure it's my time to roll. And when I do, when I leave, I'm gonna go out like Elijah.
A great glimpse of a never-changing God.